WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. This is WVUA 90.7 FM, The Capstone, and welcome to the first ever live show and episode number 20 of the Full Court Press Podcast. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Alex Chasen and Nick Atkinson. Today is February 9th, and the NBA trade deadline concluded just a few hours ago at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, yeah.
Today is all about the deadline and going over all the moves that have gone down in the last 24 to 48 hours. Just real quick before we get started, make sure to follow us on Instagram at @FCPPodcast_UA and on TikTok at @FCP_podcast. With that being said, now let's get into it.
Let's jump right into it. Our first live show. How are we feeling, boys?
Great. Good. It's crazy.
I'm feeling fantastic. Thank you very much, Noah, standing next to us for all his help setting this up for us.
The greatest.
We are so excited for this. Wow. What a trade deadline. Probably, I say, top three ever, in my opinion.
Definitely.
What do you guys think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, only thing that really comes to mind would probably be last year, whenever Harden got traded. That was pretty good. A couple years before that, the Jimmy Butler trade.
That was crazy,
so,
yeah.
You know, definitely up there. I'd say it's probably the craziest of all time,
though. Yeah, no, I don't really think, like, it's even close. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, so many big
Russell
names.
Russell Westbrook. Can't forget Nick's guy, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Nick's guy.
He said it last night. He said that this is the best player to ever be traded, probably.
Yeah. Oh, Russell Westbrook?
No, Russell Kevin Westbrook, Durant. Kevin Durant. Probably Kevin Durant, but there's a lot of superstars.
Shaq,
probably Shaq.
And I mean, but at that time, Shaq wasn't, you know, on KD's level that he is right this second.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
But I think, you know, that'd probably be the biggest trade besides that as far as, you know, talent-wise. Because James Harden wasn't even that good when he got traded last year, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'd say this is definitely a top three trade deadline all time. I'd have to look at past trade deadlines, and it would probably move up to number one, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Just the pure amount of moves is just insane. But for everyone listening, thank you very much for tuning in. We're going to be going trade by trade, and we're going to be dissecting them all. Let's start it off here. Well, I just want to preface it by saying all the trades that have happened in the past 24 hours. Kyrie Irving did get traded on February 5th, which I believe is Sunday or Monday.
Yeah.
And that was a big trade. We talked about that on our podcast. Go check it out. FCP Podcast at Apple. Wherever you listen to your podcast, it'll be up there.
Mm-hmm.
So go check that one out. We already touched on Kyrie, Dwayne Dedman, Kessler Edwards, the biggest trade of them all for Jamie over there, the Kings fan. But let's jump into the trades we haven't talked about on today's live show. Let's go right into it. You ready, boys?
Yeah,
let's go.
All right. Three-team trade. Lakers trade Westbrook in a three-team deal. The Los Angeles Lakers receive D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell back in L.A.,
nice.
Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt. Going to the Timberwolves, we have Mike Conley from the Utah Jazz, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and 3 second-round picks. Who are the Jazz getting? Russell Westbrook, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Jamie's favorite, not...
No.
And Damian Jones in the 2027 first round pick. I want to go to Nick first on this one here because he is the Russell Westbrook fan. He is the biggest of them all. Let's hear what you have to say.
I'm very happy he's free. It did come out about 30 minutes ago, though, that the reason the trade was pushed was because the relationship between him and the whole entire coaching staff had gotten so toxic that it was to the point where he was standing on the court when he didn't want to go out, and he just felt disrespected by the coaching staff, which I can agree with watching all however many games he's played this season. I've tuned in every single one of them, and I have noticed that he only gets around 20-something minutes a game, and I just think that's
right.
A little – for a guy that's averaging, like, you know, a good 16 and 8, that's kind of crazy to only give him that many minutes.
It's disrespectful.
Did you hear what that ESPN reporter called him, like a vampire?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Whatever. The media is always against him, but, you know, he always continues to go out and impress people. Despite all the criticism he gets, he still is always a professional, the most professional player I've ever seen in a press conference.
I agree. And by the way, I was just messing with you when we were texting on Instagram earlier, and I said all those things about Westbrook. I was just,
I
was just playing with you. You know, I'm a big fan of that guy, Westbrook. Now let's jump to the other side of this trade. Mike Conley, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, 3 second-round picks to the Timberwolves. How do you feel about this one, Jamie?
I think it's a pretty good pick for the Timberwolves. You know, you lose D'Angelo Russell, and it's a lot of scoring there, but you get back Mike Conley. He's a veteran guard. Hopefully, he can help mend those little relationship problems going on between Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert. Just a lot of big personalities there, and Mike Conley's a veteran guy who I think can help out with that. Alongside Nikhil Alexander-Walker, you know, solid role player. I think he'll do well. And then 3 second-round picks, which second-round picks seem to be, you know, the consensus among a lot of teams. There's been
so many today.
A lot of second-round picks getting thrown around. We'll get into that later. But I do think the Timberwolves got a good little load here for losing one of their star players in D'Angelo Russell.
Very interesting. Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert are now back being teammates because they're formerly on the Jazz together. Mm-hmm. I like this for the Timberwolves. I definitely think they regress a little bit because D'Lo is such an offensive talent, but they do get so much better defensively and just as an overall team player like Mike Conley and a good vet to have on that roster. I'm not really sure if it's going to make too much of a difference. Probably not, but definitely I would say a slight upgrade for what the team needs right now because they already have plenty of offense. So Mike Conley could bring some defense and a more of a veteran presence. And then the Lakers side of this, they obviously win this trade by a mile. D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Jared Vanderbilt. Nick, you're the half Lakers fan here just because Westbrook was on the team.
Not anymore.
No, I know, not anymore. But you still said last night in the car when we were talking about this trade that what do you want? You want Westbrook to get a ring if the Lakers. So you're still kind of rooting for the Lakers a little bit. You retract that statement?
Yeah, I retract that statement because pretty soon Russell Westbrook will be on the other end of that locker room in the
You think that's what's going to happen?
I absolutely do. They traded Reggie Jackson. They only have one more point. They only have one point guard on the roster now. It's only Bones Highland. So I think that they got all that money off of this so they can give Russell Westbrook a multi-year, like, just decent contract.
Interesting.
I just think that's what's going to happen, either that or the Heat, and he's going to go to a contender. And yeah.
Jumping into the back to the Lakers, though, how does this fit for the Lakers?
Defensively is good, but you trade away Thomas Bryant. Oh, but they did get Mo Bamba back. They're looking really good, but I don't know. It's going to take a very long time for them to, like, you know, mend together, flesh together. So I don't think that it's going to be immediate. I think a good 20 games are going to go, like, 12-8, maybe, at best.
They got to find an identity.
And they can't afford to go, like, have a losing record.
They can't they can't afford to win less than 14 games, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Jamie?
I think the Lakers do win this. I'm a huge, huge fan of D'Angelo Russell. Ever since his days in Brooklyn, he was one of my favorite players in the league. Now he goes back to L.A. where it all started, back with LeBron. He did say in an interview when he was in L.A. a few years ago that his dream was to play with LeBron and Anthony Davis. So now he gets that. We're going to see how it works out. But aside from D'Angelo Russell, I really like what they get out of Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt. Malik Beasley's averaging about 14 a game, along with 4 rebounds off the bench, and I think he's going to bring a lot of wing scoring and defense that the Lakers do desperately need. Then you also get Jared Vanderbilt, who we all know is a defensive monster. He's going to help a lot with the Lakers' lackluster defense. He's pretty good offensively, so I do think the Lakers win this trade. As a Kings fan, I hate to say it, but they do look a lot better.
I agree. They're definitely more scary than they were yesterday. Jumping into the next trade here, Josh Hart is getting sent to the Knicks. And in return, the Portland Trailblazers receive Cam Reddish, Ryan Arcidiakono, Sfi Mikhailiuk, and a 2023 lottery protected first round pick. I kind of want to start up with this one and say thank you, Knicks, for freeing Cam Reddish.
Finally.
All three of us are big Cam fans on this show. Just for the pure fact that the raw talent and the ability is there, but he's just not getting the minutes. In New York, he went from playing to then getting benched, and then the past few months, he hasn't even been in the rotation. Not a single minute the past month or two. I'm so glad he's out of there. I'm so glad he's going to a team like Portland where he might be able to have room to flourish because you move Jeremy Grant to the power forward position, put Cam at the starting small forward, except, you know, they still got Nazir Little. I'm not sure what they're going to do on that standpoint because he's not really performing the way he should be. But I'm so happy for Cam. He is the biggest piece of this trade. On the Knicks standpoint, Josh Hart is just an upgrade for all three of the, I mean, compared to all three of those guys, big upgrade for the Knicks to a team that's might make a little bit of a playoff run, maybe knock out one team in the first round. We'll see what happens there. But what do you guys think about this trade, starting off with the Knicks with Josh Hart?
The Knicks, absolutely, in my mind, fleeced the Portland Trailblazers. I think that Josh Hart is one of the – he probably is a top five role player in the NBA, just pure 3-and-D.
I agree.
You know, you only give up a lottery-protected first-round pick, and you're in the playoffs right now. So that's not a pick that they have to worry about. RJ's starting to play a lot better. Jalen Brunson's playing a lot better. I think that's what made them push towards the trade of getting Cam Reddish out of there, because with RJ starting to, like, tune his play back up, I think they're kind of just like, okay, now we don't have to worry about trading him and getting more young pieces. So, and as far as the Trailblazers, I like this because I feel like they're trending towards maybe getting Dame off the team. They're trending towards it. The reason I say that, though, is because think about all the young pieces that they just got.
No,
they
I
got
agree.
Matisse Thybulle off of the 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
They got Cam Reddish, Sfi Mikhailiuk,
didn't they send Sfi to the Hornets?
Yeah, I think went to the Hornets.
They did another trade. He got sent to the Hornets. But they got Arcidiakono, which, no offense, Ryan, you're not the most relevant piece of this.
I
but Cam Reddish.
I didn't even realize he was still in the league.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think that's going to benefit them a lot in the long term because, you know, Damian Lillard is 31 years old. I feel like next year he will be on a different team, though. That's just what I think will happen.
My take is just based off the reports going back to a month ago. They're both still bought in on each other. And Dame, dude, he's proven time and time again that he doesn't want to leave and the Tribblers don't want to get rid of him. And he's on a big contract that's not going to be very easily moved. Which, hey, I might be wrong because there was some big contracts this deadline that were moved pretty easily. So I could be wrong on that. But just Dame just seems like a lifer for Portland, kind of how Curry is a lifer with the Warriors. But that's just my take. How about you, Jamie, on this trade?
Yeah, I got to, you know, agree with Nick here. I think the Knicks won this trade in a good little landslide. Cam Reddish, Portland's kind of banking on if he can, you know, live up to that potential coming out of Duke. And then Ryan Arcidiacono, he's not going to play. Svi Mykhailiuk, he's already gone. The lottery-protected first-round pick is cool. That could work out for them. It might not, so we'll see. I think Josh Hart, he averaged about... In his first 13 games with Portland last year, he averaged 20 a game. And just before that, on the Pelicans, he averaged 13 off the bench. So he's definitely a... He's definitely a proven guy that can go out there and score buckets. Teammates, college teammates with Jalen Brunson, so we get to see them play together again. So I do think the Knicks get a lot better from this, both offensively and defensively, especially just clearing out a guy that wasn't even playing anyway. So I got to take the Knicks on this one.
You see Brunson's reaction? It was priceless. Yeah. He was so excited.
He was at a Nova game.
He was at a Nova game, right? Yeah. And someone showed the phone to his face. He's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he said some bad word that we can't say on here, but he was freaking out, and I'm so happy that he's back with his teammate. That's exciting to see. Jumping into the next trade, Jakob Poeltl is getting sent back to Toronto after a couple-year hiatus with the Spurs for Ken Birch, a 2024 first-round pick, and two second-round picks. Here you start to see the second-round picks get tossed around, and they get tossed around a lot today, so get ready to hear second-round pick here, second-round pick there. But getting back into this trade, great pickup for the Raptors, who I thought would be selling this deadline. I know Jamie wants to touch on a little bit of Raptors news with OG, if you want to swirl that into this section of the show. So I'm going to start off with you, Jamie. How do you feel about this trade? And then also, it's just showing the Raptors' direction, which I know touches on the Kings and OG and that whole news.
Yeah. So Toronto here, they acquire Jakob Poeltl, one of the most underrated big men in the NBA today. I know Alex wanted him desperately as a Boston Celtic.
I did, really bad.
Didn't happen. The Raptors came in and swooped him up just for Ken Birch and one first-round pick and a second. The Spurs were originally asking for two firsts. So I do think the Raptors got a good deal here, but acquiring Jakob Poeltl kind of confused me because the Raptors were coming in as a pretty bad team, and originally everybody thought they were going to be selling. Everybody thought Fred VanVleet was gone, Gary Trent, OG Anunoby. Everybody thought Pascal Siakam had a chance to be traded, Chris Boucher. So with this, I was a little skeptical. You know, you're bringing in a big man that's going to help you win. And, you know, getting rid of some assets that looks like you're not selling at all. So this kind of, you know, I wanted OG Anunoby on the Sacramento Kings absolutely desperately. The Kings lack defense, and OG would help absolutely in a fantastic way. So I was talking to Nick about this when they brought in Jakob Poeltl. We were like, oh, we think OG's going to be traded so they can run VanVleet, Gary Trent, who we said run the three? Yeah, Scotty at the three, Siakam back at the four, where he's always been so good, and then a real center at the five in Jakob Poeltl. But unfortunately, that never happened. So it looks like the Toronto Raptors are all in on winning a championship in the next few years.
Oh, what do I think about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it as far as for the San Antonio Spurs a little bit because they get that pick. And in 2024, I don't think that the Raptors are going to be good anymore. I think Pascal is going to be out of there. I think... Maybe Pascal will. Fred will definitely be out of there, I think, next year. I think.
Yeah, I agree. I'm surprised he didn't get traded. It's just the direction of this Raptors team is really confusing me.
Yeah, but I think that they're trying to just beat out the Bulls for that 10 spot in the East. I think that's their goal, is to get in the play-in so they can, you know, compete. Because they definitely could. You know, Pascal Siakam's one of the best players in the NBA.
And they get better.
Yeah, I think so, too. You add a whole other element to that defense, and I think this really benefits them as far as the now, but for the Spurs, this just really makes it even better for in a couple years whenever they have whoever they get this year and then next year. And so, you know, I'm saying that.
Reports are the Celtics offered Peyton Pritchard, Danilo Gallinari, and two second-round picks for Jakob Poeltl, and obviously the Spurs chose this deal of the two because you're getting a first-round pick, and I do agree the Raptors, that might be a – so not this NBA draft, but the following NBA draft in 2024, that might be a good pick to have, a valuable pick, like Nick mentioned, with some guys maybe possibly being on the moves this offseason or next trade deadline that really could tank this Raptors team, depending on what direction they go in, which is very confusing. I can't really tell. Obviously, they're not tanking because they just got better with a great pickup with Jakob Poeltl.
I think the rest of the season is really going to show the Raptors' direction for the next few years, because if they come out bad, then the Raptors are going to be tanking for the next few years. But if this Jakob Poeltl trade helps and they start winning a lot more games, they're going to be pushing for a championship.
I agree with that one. Now jumping into arguably the biggest trade of them all.
Of all time, maybe.
Maybe. The Snake. Kevin Durant and TJ Warren are getting sent to Phoenix, or have been sent to Phoenix.
He's going back to Phoenix.
He's going back. That's where he started his career. That is very true. For Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, who then got followed up, who got traded to the Milwaukee Bucks, so he doesn't even spend a second in Brooklyn, so I just wanted to touch on that. 4 first-round picks and a 2028 pick swap. Wow. I do want to say that I don't know how I feel about this for the Suns.
I know how I feel.
Where'd their depth go? Oh, their depth got sent to the Brooklyn Nets, so they don't have depth anymore. Yes, they did make a good trade for Darius Bazley, who, I mean, it's a good pickup from the Thunder, who's now on the Suns. I mean, a good forward off the bench. But overall, they just lost their best defensive player, their best backup / starting forward, and then a guy, Jay Crowder, who wasn't playing, but when he does play, he's, you know, a really valuable piece. I understand trading him. But then all those picks, Matt Ishbia is putting all his eggs in one basket. He just bought the team a few months ago. He got in charge last week, and I love it, kind of, but also it's a very scary trade because they just lost all their depth. What are you guys thinking about this?
I think that, I mean, Kevin Durant's on a great deal. Him and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, that's the big three for the future, the next 4 years, I think.
No Chris Paul? Big four?
No.
Trash.
I think that the Nets fleece this, though. You get 5 first-round picks.
That's insane.
And by 2028, the Phoenix Suns probably won't be good.
Well, Kevin Durant will be either extremely old or out of the league. Exactly. Devin Booker will be into his 30s. He might request a trade, depending on how things go. Chris Paul's gone. He'll be up, long gone. He'll be out of the league in the next year.
Ayton will probably be gone, too.
Yeah. Ayton, because he doesn't even want to be there right now.
Exactly. So I just think that Durant himself isn't necessarily a toxic person, but he's just such a big name that none of these guys on this team have ever gotten close to playing with. Maybe Chris Paul, the best guy he's played with is Harden, but Harden's not even in the same stratosphere as Kevin Durant. So I just think that that's going to take a long time to get used to. I don't think that they're going to be good immediately. They're obviously the fifth seed already right now. I think they'll continue. They'll probably finish in the top two.
It's a tight West, though, so we're going to see.
Yeah, definitely.
But I do think that this team is going to go very deep in the playoffs. I think that the floor is the Western Conference Finals. I think that there's no way that they don't get there unless somebody gets
injured.
Even
with the lack of depth now?
Yeah, well, because let me just give you a depth.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you got Chris Paul, you got Devin Booker, Torrey Craig, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Ayton. Then off the bench, you got a great six-man, TJ Warren, Landry Shamet, Cameron Payne.
Bazley,
and Biggs Mac-Biombo, who is not the best backup center, but
serviceable.
At the end of the day, that's still pretty good. And then now it's kind of funny, you reunite Kevin Durant and campaign. Even though they weren't, it's not like him and Westbrook, you know. Campaign and Westbrook were best friends.
I forgot about campaign.
But I do like the trade for the Suns. I really do like, I don't like Kevin Durant, but I do like that Valley jersey. So I might get it.
It's pretty hard.
You might get that.
Yeah.
Breaking news, Nick Atkinson might become a Kevin Durant fan.
No. If Russell Westbrook for some reason goes to the Suns, absolutely. But, you know, Kevin Durant, I just think this is very beneficial for him to go back to the Western Conference, go to a bigger market team. The Nets are a big market team, but they're not a huge market like the Suns, Warriors, even the Thunder. Thunder aren't a bigger market than the Nets, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, the Nets are in New York, but it's like the little brother to the New York Knicks.
Nobody thinks about the Nets when they think about New York.
Right, they think about the Knicks. I understand what you're saying.
So I think that this is beneficial for him to kind of get that confidence back, to kind of prove to everybody that he's still a top three player in the NBA.
Yeah.
And I just think that he'll flourish really good. And for the Nets, I love this future that you have with Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson's kind of old.
I mean, but I still think that that's really good. I'm a Sixers fan, but as much as I hate to say it, Ben Simmons is going to turn back into an all-star, in my opinion. I think that's what's going to happen.
Wow.
Well, he is now the lead, you could say, quote-unquote, I say this very loosely, lead star on that roster. So.
And I think that him and Cam Johnson will play really good together. There's both Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas will play really good together. And then now he has all that shooting.
Honestly, low key, they get not better.
I was literally about to say
they do get better.
You're not better. When you have Kevin Durant, you're definitely better. But just the 1-13 roster is just overall so much better than where they were yesterday. Like I said, it's hard to say you're better than when you have Durant and Kyrie, but you kind of are. What do you think?
As far as 1-13, you are, like you said. But yeah. I think that if you do, you know, keep this roster together, you do keep Kevin Durant, you know, or you do keep Ben Simmons happy, and maybe he can become what he was supposed to become. And then, you know, Mikal Bridges, he is about 25 years old, but he still has a very high ceiling. If Cam Thomas can turn into like what everybody thinks he is with his scoring, then that could be a really good team next season.
There's a lot that has to go right, but I think the future is bright. I did not mean to rhyme there, but it just happened to happen. What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, so this is one that struck me very deep inside. I saw this happen last night at around, midnight, 1 a.m.?
Yeah.
And
I was sound asleep.
Yeah, no, Kevin Durant getting traded was something that I didn't see coming, but same time, I feel like everybody deep down knew it was going to happen. KD is one of my favorite players of all time, so when I saw it happen, I'm not a big fan of the Suns, so I was a little heartbroken a little bit, but it's all right. KD goes to the Suns. They now have a big four, so to speak, is what I'm hearing in the media, with Chris Paul, KD, D-Book, DeAndre Ayton. So they are extremely, extremely top-heavy. Not a lot of depth, not a lot of defense, but they are going to score a lot of points.
That's for sure.
I'm looking forward to the Western Conference Finals. Hopefully we get to see Mavericks Suns. That rivalry is going to have a whole new meaning if we get to see Kyrie Irving versus Kevin Durant. So on the Brooklyn Nets side, I do want to say, you know, they kind of do get better, just depth-wise, from that standpoint. You have you bring in Mikal Bridges, one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. Cam Johnson, one of the best bench forwards in the league. No longer Jay Crowder, but you do get some assets back from him. And then especially from the Kyrie Irving trade earlier, you bring in Spencer Dinwiddie, who's been a net before. You bring in Dorian Finney-Smith, a fantastic wing defender.
Their defense is crazy. Yes. Mikal Bridges.
So you're going to have Spencer Dinwiddie, yeah. Cam Thomas, Mikal Bridges, Ben Simmons, Nick Claxton as your starting five, with Cam Johnson. Who else? Joe Harris, Seth Curry, Dorian Finney-Smith, all off the bench. So I feel like defensively, this team is just
better
insane. And then Cam Thomas, who's your main scorer, he's averaged 40 a game in the last three. So this team is going to be deadly, especially within the next few years, if they can retain some of these guys. And if the Suns, if they end up being duds, those first-round picks, man,
be very
the
valuable,
Nets
yeah.
could be a team to watch out for a very, very long time.
I think there's a lot that has to go right for the Nets because, like, Mikal Bridges, we don't know how good his ceiling is. I don't know if he's hit it yet. Cam Thomas, this could be just another Lynn sanity. So there's a lot that has to go right. But if it goes right, it could be, you know, one of the better trades that the Nets have made because, you know, I mean, you look at their past. That Paul Pierce-Garnett trade, obviously, that didn't really work out for them. Jumping into the next trade, the Boston Celtics get Mike Muscala for Justin Jackson and 2 second-round picks getting sent back to the Oklahoma City Thunder. As the Celtics fan in the room, I like this trade. I wish they did more to try to fight for Jakob Poeltl or Mo Bamba, who we'll talk about in a few trades from now. But excuse me, I just wish they fought for more. I really wish they did. I think we need a better backup center. Yes, Mike Muscala is a great three-point shooter for a big man. That's a good thing to see behind Robert Williams / Al Horford. And then we have Luke Kornet as well. So I'm so glad we have another center that can shoot. Defense isn't really there, but I'm just glad we got another big man on the roster. But I wish just Brad Stevens fought for a little bit more. Now, as the non-Celtics fans, you two, how do you guys feel about this? Because I know Nick's a little bit of more of a Celtics fan. You're a little bit of a hater over there,
yeah.
Jamie. But let's start off with Nick, because I know you'll give me an unbiased, real talk.
I was going to give an unbiased opinion, too, but go ahead.
So, if I'm just being honest a little bit, I don't like it defensively at all. You know what I'm saying? I think that it doesn't benefit the problems that you'll have already with the interior defense. I was watching him the other night when LeBron broke the record. And he just kind of stands there like a small forward a little bit. But as far as offense, that's perfect for y'all for off the bench, you know. But y'all didn't trade Peyton Pritchard, did y'all?
No.
Okay,
he's still on the roster, sadly.
So now you get some value out of that, too, in the offseason. I think that y'all are a top three team as far as like championship contenders still, and I do like that you got Justin Jackson off the team for Mike Muscala.
I'm so happy he's gone.
That's like going from a JV player to a NBA player, you know what I'm saying? And then you only have to give up 2 second round picks. Like that's, you got him for a really good deal. He's a quality backup big. I think he's more of a power forward, but I do think he will provide better defense than Luke Kornet was playing, if I'm just being honest.
No, what would the Kornet contest?
No.
That doesn't work.
No, that does not work. I've seen that. I've seen so many people hit that shot over him. But, you know, I was called the hater of the Celtics here, but I actually have a differing opinion than Nick. I actually like this for the Celtics.
Oh, thank you.
Mike Muscala brings a lot of perimeter shooting, which, you know, the Celtics don't really see from their bigs. You get a little bit of that from Al Horford. Rob Williams does not really shoot the three like that. So I think Mike Muscala is going to really stretch the floor for them. I saw him against the Lakers when OKC beat them on LeBron's record-setting night. And yes, he wasn't the greatest defender, but offensively, he was a bit of a torch. He had about 15 points off the bench. You know, you don't really hear about Mike Muscala a ton, but I do think he's going to be a serviceable big man for the Boston Celtics, and I think he could be a part of a championship team.
Hopefully, that's the plan. I mean, Blake Griffin hit 5 threes. What was that, last night?
Yeah, last night.
So
crazy.
The thing is, we shouldn't have to expect that every night. So now we expect that from Mike Muscala. So I do like it on that standpoint. I think we're going to try to check out the buyout market, I hope, because there's going to be a few names out there that we could check out. We don't know yet. I mean, Will Barton's one of them. He would be not a bad pickup. What's his name? Reggie Jackson, that wouldn't be a bad pickup. But so we're going to have to check out the buyout market. We'll talk about that in our next podcast or the one after that, whenever those guys sign, wherever they do. Jumping into the next trade, Thomas Bryant gets traded to the Denver Nuggets for Davon Reed and 3 second-round picks. At the time,
this
in the moment
insane.
When this trade went down, very surprising because we're like, what are they doing? Why'd they get rid of their backup center? Reports are Thomas Bryant has requested a trade or did request a trade from the Lakers after AD came back from his injury. Obviously, he took Thomas Bryant's minutes because you can't compare the two. Obviously, AD is light years better. So he requested the trade. The man got his wish. Some may think that it happened because he was trying to ask for the ball when LeBron got his, you know, record-setting
exactly
shot.
Why it happened.
Nah, but on the real, he did request a trade, so I understand why they made this happen. And in return, on a following trade, they got Mo Bamba, which we'll talk about later. But, Nick, how do you feel about this? Because we were all shocked in the moment. This doesn't really make sense for them. But now that we know they got Mo Bamba, it kind of makes more sense.
I'm really happy that Thomas Bryant's off that toxic, terrible franchise with terrible fans. But I also don't like the Nuggets that much either, but because he's still going to have to back up Jokic. I think that he's a starting-level big man. I think that he brings so much to the table as far as offense. Like, he can dunk on anybody, he can shoot threes, mid-range. He's just a perfect modern-day offensive center. He just has to work on that defense, and he would be really good. He's, you know, only about 25 years old, so
he's still very young.
I think that he has a spot in this league as a starting center, and I think that he's only on a one-year deal right now. I think next season he's going to get a big bag. And I think that this makes the Nuggets even more deep right now. It's kind of scary to see how good they're about to be in the next coming weeks.
Looking into the future, what team do you think he'd be a good starting center for? Because I can't think off the top of my head. I feel like most
he would be when Brook Lopez ages out, he'd be really good for them.
Yeah, I like that.
Because he can shoot the rock.
Yeah. There. Let's see. He'd be good on the Warriors, I think. Because Draymond kind of holds that defense down anyways.
Yeah.
So I feel like he can do that. I think he'd play really good on the Trailblazers, but he'd have to back up Nurkic.
Celtics, maybe. But that's Rob.
I think he wants a starting position, so I think he's going to sign. He might even go to a team kind of like the Charlotte Hornets. I think that something like that would be really good for him. You know,
they just got rid of Mason Plumlee.
It's a young team. He's 26 years old, 25, 26 years old. He can develop with LaMelo Ball the next 4 years. They could be a playoff team. You know,
that's
what
another
I'm
knock on
know.
Mark Williams, though.
It's all right.
Sorry, Tommy, our friend, if you're listening, that's another knock on Mark Williams not getting a shot.
I was going to say, I think they're trying to develop Mark Williams over there. But, you know, Thomas Bryant, I think this is a great acquisition by the Nuggets. He's going to be backing up Jokic. He's a bit of a polar opposite from Jokic, so to speak. He's not the greatest shooter in the world, especially not compared to Jokic, but defensively he's miles ahead better. He's much, much more athletic. So I think you're going to have, Jokic, Thomas Bryant. That's one of the best two bigs on one team in the league. And then the Lakers get Devon Reed in 2 seconds. They low-key got fleeced. Not a big Devon Reed guy. 2 seconds.
Neither.
I mean, everybody's getting second-round picks nowadays.
Yep.
So the Lakers did avenge themselves later on in the day. We'll get to, you know, Pat Bev later. But, losing Thomas Bryant at the moment was a big L for the Lakers.
I agree. Jumping into the next trade here, this is a three-team trade, which we've seen a lot today, which is not too common, but today was very common. Matisse Thybulle from the 76ers gets traded to the Portland Trailblazers. Jalen McDaniels from the Hornets gets traded to the 76ers. And Svi Mykhailiuk, who was in a previous trade we talked about, he gets traded again with 2 second-round picks to the Charlotte Hornets. Nick, you are the Sixers fan. You receive Jalen McDaniels, and you lose Matisse Thybulle. What's your take on this?
All right, so before I saw that we got Jalen McDaniels, I was, like, heated. I got up out of my, like, I got up out of the chair I was sitting in, and I was just, like, I was just going on to the internet looking at every little, like, thing up until I saw, okay, we got Jalen McDaniels. Like, that's pretty good in return. So I don't like it for us on defense, but I think that because we wanted to get Furkan Korkmaz out of there, so I guess maybe this opens up some minutes for him, I guess, but we get better on offense. We get the 2 second-round picks. But I like Matisse Thybulle so much. I wanted first-round picks for Matisse Thybulle. That's what I wanted for him. But I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't think so.
He's not worth that.
He's one of the best defenders in the NBA.
He is, but his offense is not there. Like Mikal Bridges, at least he has really good offense. Not really good. Good offense.
I'm not saying like I wanted two or three. I just wanted like one. Like, one would have been fine with me. I mean, but at the end of the day, Jalen McDaniels, he's a little – they're around the same age. He's better offensively.
Definitely.
Maybe he can get his defense a little bit better. I think it might open up a little bit for what we want to run next year as far as if we want to keep Montrezl Harrell around, because I don't know if we will. He has not been playing that good for us. He's just a little undersized, and I think that the modern-day NBA that he was dominating coming off the bench a couple years ago, I don't think that's going to happen anymore because – we're getting a lot of young, good centers that are tall and are starting to dominate the basket again, so I don't think that a player like him is going to be able to stick around the league for too much longer. I think that we're kind of just waiting for Paul Reed to develop into what we want him to be so that we can have Jalen McDaniels run the four, and I'm happy about it, though.
If you're the Hornets, I don't know why you get rid of Jalen McDaniels.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the Hornets are the absolute losers of this trade. I'm sorry, Tommy, if you're listening, but Portland gets so much better defensively getting Matisse Thybulle. They were an offensive-heavy team. They lacked a lot of defense running Anthony Simons next to Damian Lillard, but now you bring in Matisse, one of the best defending guards in the league, helps so much. Jalen McDaniels to the Sixers brings a lot more scoring. He's lengthy. He's young. This is going to be it's going to work out great in the future for them. Plus, you get 2 second-round picks, which is a theme going around in the NBA.
Yep.
And then the Hornets, they get Svi Mykhailiuk, so they get Svi Mykhailiuk, who was involved in a trade earlier as an afterthought piece, and now he's going to the Hornets as their centerpiece of the trade, which is whack to me. Plus, they get 2 second-round picks, which is like, oh, you know, 2 second-round picks, that's cool. The Sixers got 2 second-round picks, too, alongside Jalen McDaniels, who's way better than Svi Mykhailiuk. So, this is a little disappointing for Charlotte. You know, you hate to see it out there. They are in absolute tank mode. So, you know, maybe this will help Victor Wembanyama come in. Who knows?
Brandon Miller, our guy here in Alabama.
Roll tide.
I saw the mock drafts today, and Brandon Miller's going fourth to the Hornets. So hopefully that can happen.
Roll Tide.
I would buy that. I'd buy that jersey in 2 seconds.
Yeah, me too.
Easy. Jumping into the next trade here. This is where Jay Crowder officially lands. He gets traded from the Nets. He was there for 0.2 seconds. To the Milwaukee Bucks. So that's his final destination. We knew that was going to happen. He was already in talks. Shams reported that the Suns were already letting Jay Crowder talk to the Bucks about play schemes, whatever it may is. None of us are surprised by that. None of us are surprised by the next thing. Serge Ibaka gets traded as well. We knew that was going to happen, but then he gets released. So he's a free agent now. That might be a good pickup for the Celtics. I'd like that one, but I don't really know if we need a big man anymore after trading for Mike Muscala. The Kings, that would not be bad as well.
I'd love to talk about this one.
Let me just finish this trade real quick.
Go ahead.
And then George Hill gets sent to the Pacers, back to the Pacers. This is like his second or third stint there. And then Jordan Nwuor as well, and 3 second-round picks. A lot of picks. And the Brooklyn Nets just received 2 second-round picks just for a little compensation for giving the Bucks Jay Crowder. What do you got to say, Jamie?
So, for this one, Milwaukee gets Jay Crowder, and Milwaukee is now solidified as an absolute contender out in the East. As if they weren't already, this is an absolute wonder for the Milwaukee Bucks. They get so much shooting out of this, a lot more defense. Hopefully, Jay Crowder is still the same player he was. He hasn't played in a minute, so hopefully he goes out there and balls. Indiana Pacers, they get an aging George Hill, so not sure how that's going to help them.
I feel like they might just release him, too.
Yeah, I think they will. They already have Tyrese Halliburton. You know, he's doing his thing out there. You already released Serge Ibaka, who hopefully, as a Sacramento Kings fan, goes right over to us. The Kings didn't make a single deal. Well, I mean, Kessler Edwards, but that don't count. So I think bringing in Serge Ibaka, especially as a pure defender, which Sacramento lacks desperately, would be amazing. And then they get Jordan Nwora, a young guard who can, you know, maybe develop out, you know, be a backup guy, maybe the 13th man, maybe the G League. So we'll see what he does, plus 3 second-round picks. So I think overall the Pacers, I'm not going to say they won the deal because I believe the Bucks did, but they definitely, I think, got to the second place because Brooklyn, all they got was 2 seconds. So it looks like Brooklyn is trying to rack up as many picks as possible.
And they were just the pass along from the Suns to the Bucks.
Yeah.
How you feeling about this one, Nick?
Well, if I'm being honest with you, I think that this makes the Bucks my personal favorite to win the championship.
Exactly.
And this is why I say it. You have a way better team than what you did as far as structure when they won the title. Now you get a way better PJ Tucker, somebody that can guard the best guy on the court and actually not get 50 dropped on him and then get called the best defender in the NBA. So he's better on offense, better on defense. He's a little taller. And I just feel like now you got Serge Ibaka out of there, you can really focus on building up Bobby Portis minutes all throughout. Obviously, he's probably going to win the Sixth Man of the Year now. So I just think that this makes them title favorites, in my opinion. And it's just because he's just an upgrade of P.J. Tucker. And we saw what P.J. Tucker did for them. And now a very open East for the – because the East is pretty open now. I mean, you lose the Nets. And, I mean, they were probably the biggest.
The Heat didn't make a move, so they drop off.
Well, they might have something. They might have something cooking up. We'll see. I got my eyes on the Heat, but yeah.
For Westbrook,
them and the Clippers, yeah.
Let's jump into the next trade. 2 second-round picks get sent to Denver for Bones Highland. Jamie whispered, "I got this one. I got this one. It's all you, man. Take the floor." This makes no sense to anyone.
Yeah. So I myself am a massive Nashawn Bones Highland fan. Ever since he came out of college, I was just a big fan of him. Collected his rookie cards. I literally did an entire rebuild around him on NBA 2K. I traded De'Aaron Fox for him. So, you know, I'm a big Bones Highland fan. I really didn't want to see him get traded. I thought he was the perfect sixth man for the Denver Nuggets. He gets sent over to the Clippers. I was hoping he could be the starting point guard, but, you know, as time progresses, it looks like Russell Westbrook might be coming in. Shout out Nick over there. But I think Bones Highland deserves as many minutes as possible on the Los Angeles Clippers. And if Russell Westbrook doesn't come in, I think he's that third piece to the big three out in the Clippers alongside Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. He's, what, 20 years old. He's a sophomore in the NBA, averaging about 18 points a game off the bench. He's a pure scorer, fantastic handles, great shooter, can get to the rim. I think Bones Highland is a very slept-on player, and I think he could be a part of this Clippers' future for a very long time. Cool. He low-key might be their future.
I was just thinking about this. It's a lot of moving parts, so let me explain. The Clippers drafted Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? So then they traded him. They lose out on a superstar. This might be the return to replace Shai's status on the roster. This might be what they've needed. They've been looking for. Kawhi said he wanted a point guard. I don't know if this will make him happy because it's like a young guy who's proved himself a little bit, but hasn't proven himself to be like a superstar or anything. But I like this move, obviously, for the Clippers. They win this 1,010%. For the Nuggets, what are you doing? Like, he must have had some real problems with ownership, coaches. He might have just some attitude issues where he talks back to Coach Malone, whatever it may be. But like, 2 second-round picks, you could get any more value out of that? I just can't comprehend it.
Exactly. That's crazy. 2 seconds, you know, the Clippers got an absolute steal for their point guard.
Put it in perspective, the Brooklyn Nets got 2 seconds for trading away, just being a pass along for Jay Crowder.
Exactly.
It's just, what is going on? I don't get that one. But jumping into the next one, because that frustrates all of us in the room. Garrison Matthews and Bruno Fernando are getting sent to the Atlanta Hawks for Justin Holiday, Frank Kaminsky, and 2 second-round picks. Not a major trade today, but we wanted to touch on all of them. So this is nothing major, but the Hawks do get a little bit better. I think Bruno Fernando is a little bit better than Frank Kaminsky. And then Garrison Matthews is a shooter. Not great defensively, but he's a shooter, where Justin Holiday really isn't. Not too much to say on this trade. Do you guys have anything to add?
Not really.
Not really. This is probably the smallest trade of the day. You know, Garrison Matthews, Bruno Fernando, who cares? I think the Rockets low-key win this deal getting Justin Holiday. He's a good bench piece. Frank Kaminsky, he's a meme player, but I think he could be serviceable if you use him right. And 2 second-round picks. So I low-key think Houston wins this, but it's something that we could just pass over.
Jumping into the next trade. This one, a three-team trade again. Very interesting. Sadiq Bey gets traded to the Atlanta Hawks. James Wiseman gets traded to the Detroit Pistons from the Warriors. And the Warriors receive Kevin Knox and 5 second-round picks James Wiseman. Like I said, a lot of second-round picks are being thrown today, and I'd say about 25% of them are in this one trade alone.
Yep.
Did they give up on James Wiseman too early, the Warriors?
I don't think so. I don't think he was ever going to be able to flourish alongside the guys they already had. Just because you don't really focus on your future when you have a top 20, top 10, top 15, around that range player of all time who's still playing like he's the MVP of the league. You still got Jonathan Kuminga, Andrew Wiggins as your future. I don't think that you... And you get all these picks, too. And James Wiseman wasn't really turning out what they wanted him to be just because he wasn't getting the minutes that he wanted. And I feel like now you ship him off to Detroit where he's going to be playing alongside Jalen Duren. But
now, yeah, he's battling with him for minutes now.
But Jalen Duren has proved that he can play the four a little bit. So I think that they're going to bring in James Wiseman, just see how they like him. And if they don't like him, they're probably going to ship him off somewhere. But I do like this trade for the Pistons. And I do want to get into the Hawks a little bit because I really like this for them.
Definitely.
Because I think that now you probably run him at the backup small forward because I don't think – if you start him over DeAndre Hunter, I think that's insane to me. As far as scoring, yeah, that's fine. But DeAndre Hunter is one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA.
Yeah, and they give him a big contract, so they're going to start him.
I that's what I'm saying. And you didn't trade John Collins. Everybody thought that was bound to happen. So,
and they said after they made this trade, we're going to keep John Collins before the deadline was over. Yeah. So, and obviously, it's over now. So
exactly. So I think this their new six man. They have a great bench, and I think that this is you only give up Kevin Knox, and now you have one of the best small forwards in the NBA. Not on a star level or all star, but he's young. He's going to benefit you with that future because Trae Young's only 23 or 24 years old.
He can spark some fire off the bench.
And definitely.
He has that. He already kind of has that Detroit culture, that fight that Isaiah Stewart had with LeBron last year. Mm-hmm. Sadiq Bey, he always has been kind of like that. He dropped 50 on the Celtics, did he not?
He did.
Yeah,
one time 50 points, the other time I think like 30-something. But
exactly. He's a stud. I think that he could really benefit them if they wanted to even maybe move DeAndre Hunter. If he works out so well that he's turning into like your third premier scorer and you want to like...
This is WVUA-FM Tuscaloosa. Keep listening for more hits.
Woo! Let's get crazy!
In movies, when someone at a party jumps into a pool fully dressed, everyone cheers them on.
Sorry about that. Keep going.
If you want to get like...
a little technical difficulties.
If you want to get like a really good big man out of them, like maybe let's say you want to... I don't know. Let's say that they want to trade DeAndre Hunter and John Collins... To whoever has the third overall pick and get Brandon Miller. Like, let's say they, for whatever reason, they want to go out and do something like that, or they want to just go and improve that power forward spot. Now you have a guy that can go and back up DeAndre Hunter if you don't like what you got out of him, because the Hogs always like to give up on people. So, I don't know. I just think that this really benefits them in the now, though. Bar scoring.
I don't know what that technical difficulty was, but we figured it out. We're back at WVUA 90.7 FM, the Capstone. Thank you for listening, everyone. Let's keep this going. Do you think if Sadiq Bey... like you said, progresses really well. You think they might get rid of John Collins instead of DeAndre Hunter?
No, because they're both about 6'7". So if you're going to be running that tiny lineup already with a 6'10" Clint Capella, who's only so good at defense and who's an aging center at this point, I just think that's kind of stupid. Because you keep Onyeka Okongwu, who should, if they're smart, they should be transitioning him over to a power forward already, only being about 6'8" at the center spot. That's kind of stupid that they drafted him and have raised him to be a center, and especially not giving him any sort of minutes. I just think that they only did this for the now. I think it's a good trade, though, and I just don't think that they should worry about trading John Collins. I think that should be their priority, is to keep him, mesh these guys together.
They got a good top six.
Exactly. Keep on building on what you have. You also have Bogdanovich. You also have Aaron Holiday. You also have A.J. Griffin, who's been one of the best rookies this season. So I think that they could be one of the premier teams in the East. They could move up to a top six seed, especially with the Nets moving out. You never know what's going to happen to the East now. So
I agree. Jumping into the next trade, Mo Bamba gets traded to the Lakers. He replaces Thomas Bryant, as we mentioned in a previous trade, who got traded to the Nuggets. And then they ship out Patrick Beverley, who then gets traded again from Orlando back to the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is a good pickup. That's a good depth move for Minnesota, trying to make a little bit of a push to get out of the play-in, maybe get a playoff spot. But let's touch on the Lakers. This is obviously the biggest move. This is like a big move for them. Their backup center is now Mo Bamba.
This is great for them. They trade away Thomas Bryant, who everybody thought was an idiotic move from Los Angeles, because now they don't have a center. They have an injured Anthony Davis, injury prone, should I say. Not really anybody else other than Wenyen Gabriel, who has not really proven himself to be that good. But now you bring in Mo Bamba, absolute, a lot of potential there. He has a fire rap song named after him. And you lose Patrick Beverley, which was kind of depressing considering just a few hours earlier, he's like, we're getting the squad back together.
Him and
then he gets traded. So I think, Orlando, what did they get out of this?
Not Pat Bev. Nothing.
That's it.
It was just Pat Bev for Boban, but straight up.
Yeah, and then he gets shipped off to the Timberwolves. So if you're the Magic, it's kind of an L, but at least get rid of Mo Bamba, who hasn't really done much. He wasn't going to get a ton of minutes nonetheless. And now he's probably going to, you know, he might start for the Lakers in a few games, or he's just going to get a bunch of minutes for him. So I think if you're the Lakers, a Lakers fan, you should be very happy right now.
They're going to be so good defensively. And I just wish that, yes, I just wish that they could have. I did want Russ to go off the team. I did want that. But just seeing what they did and all the pieces that they were able to get this offseason, it kind of just makes me think that they gave up on him a little bit. Already he was leading the six-man race. He was carrying the team off the bench. I mean, there's no doubting that. There's no denying it. Every minute that LeBron James was off, Russell Westbrook was on. Like, but I don't know. I'm kind of past him being on the Lakers. But, you know, Mo Bamba, I really do like this for him. He gets to go and be a probably franchise center for the team, because I know how they are. They're going to pay him big this offseason, and he might be able to even start for them. You know, maybe you put AD back at the power forward, put LeBron back at small forward, Malik Beasley at shooting guard, D-Russ at point guard. That's one of the nastiest starting fives in the whole NBA, and they're going to – any team that tries to drive on them is just getting, you know, is getting sent out. So I think that this improves their defense, which they lack. You already have one of the best offensive players of all time in LeBron, AD, so –
the Lakers, I think they're going to – we'll talk about this more on Monday's podcast that comes out. We'll just touch on it a little bit. But I just do want to say that they might be the biggest winners of this deadline, because I think they've turned from possibly a team that misses the play-in just based off how they've been and how tight the West is to a team that could be – if they everything goes right and they don't need two times to mesh, to become a team that is a top three seed in the West.
Three seed in the West.
I think that they are way more. I think they have the talent to do that. Absolutely, I think they could do that.
They just have to mesh.
That's what I'm saying. I think that there's no denying that. I think, you know, just because they look bad this season is because of the depth. I mean, you know, prior to the Westbrook trade, you had Westbrook, you had Austin Reeves, Lonnie Walker, Rui,
and you still have three of those guys besides Westbrook.
That whole bench five was probably the best bench five, one of the best bench fives in the starting in the NBA.
Yeah.
So I think that you build on that, and they did a really good job building on that and improving their defense. So I think that I agree with you. I think this could make them a top three team in the West.
Jumping in to the next trade. Big name, Danny Green gets traded, which I feel bad because I remember he said, I'm excited to come back, because he was hurt most of the season. Mm-hmm. He came back like a few weeks ago. I'm excited to come back and be a big piece. Not a big piece, but a good piece off the bench for this Memphis team trying to compete for a championship. Well, ouch. That didn't last too long, because he gets traded to the Houston Rockets. Eric Gordon, finally, Eric Gordon is free. Eric Gordon, 3 second-round picks, and a rights to a pick swap are getting sent to the LA Clippers. That's another good move for the Clippers today. And Memphis gets Luke Kennard, which I'm glad the Clippers dumped off that contract. He's getting paid a lot to not really be that good of a player. But I do like the return for the Clippers to get Eric Gordon, who still has some left in the tank. And I'm glad he's on a team that I wouldn't call them contenders. Nick calls them pretenders. Not anymore?
Give them. In about a week, I won't be calling them a pretender anymore. So
you said that about the Heat, the Clippers. Where's Russ going? Tell me right now, final answer. Obviously, you don't know. You don't have inside sources yet in your career. But right now, if you had to say, give me a final thing right now and you're sticking with it, where's he going? Between the Pelicans, Clippers, Heat, or another team? Because I'm tired of you going back and forth.
He's not going to Pelicans. That's like my dream. But if I got to give it a destination, he's going to the Clippers.
Okay,
and
Clippers.
The reason I say that is because you look at the depth chart. That's why I'm not in love with this trade necessarily. I think it's great to get Eric Gordon off of that terrible team. But now just having Bones Highland as your only point guard, I think that's kind of weird. Obviously, you can run Terrence Mann at the backup point guard. But if you do not get any sort of person in the buyout market, if Westbrook does get in the buyout market, I think that this will propel them even more down than they are. I think they'll still be amazing. But I don't know. I think that I'm changing my answer with all these great pieces that they got. Even without Westbrook, I said they're a contender now.
Some live news from Nick Atkinson.
And they get 3 second round picks.
What about the other two moving parts of this trade?
Oh, for the Memphis Grizzlies, I really like this because you weren't playing Danny Green anyways. They needed a backup to Desmond Bane, and this is, you know, the next best thing to Desmond Bane is catch and shoot guy that can play a little bit of defense. He's young. He fits their timeline. I think that he's going to play really well beside Tyus Jones, Xavier Tillman, that backup squad. They're going to be a really good team, and I think that this, like how Jamie was saying, that it might be, he thinks it's going to be the Mavs and Suns in the Western Conference Finals. I think it's going to be the Memphis Grizzlies in the Suns. So.
Interesting. What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, so for Houston, I'm not sure what we're doing. They are already a very bad team. So they bring in Danny Green for some shooting. I think they need a defense. They're one of the worst in the league at defense, yep, especially with a defensive-minded head coach. And they're so bad at it. It's like, Stephen Silas has literally gone out and complained about how bad his players are at defense, and now he brings in Danny Green, who is not much of a defender in his own right.
He could also be another guy that gets bought out.
Yeah,
these are bad teams.
He definitely might.
You know?
And then they get rid of Eric Gordon, which was a great thing because Eric Gordon deserved to be somewhere else, not in a losing organization like that. He goes to the Clippers, who are definitely contenders with Bones Highland, especially if they bring in Russell Westbrook. So we'll see how that goes. Plus, they get some picks out of it, so can't complain there. Memphis, they get a big contract from Luke Kennard. Although I do think they upgrade from Danny Green. I feel like shooting-wise, they are somewhat equal. I might give the edge to Danny Green a little bit, although he has fallen off a bit. But Luke Kennard's younger. He can keep developing, and I think he could get some meaningful minutes for the Memphis Grizzlies down in the future, especially if they do contend for a title this year. So I do think, honestly, out of all the trades so far, this one might be one of the most even, except for Houston. We'll see what they do with Danny Green, but I kind of think everybody's a winner here.
I want to ask Jamie one question real quick. So yesterday when we saw that Russell Westbrook had gotten traded, this is kind of off topic of this, you had said that now you don't hold anything against him.
Nope.
So you like the Clippers because you like PG.
Yeah.
So what do you – personally, as far as the Clippers, what do you think about this?
For the Clippers and from a Russell Westbrook standpoint, if they do get him, they are contenders. I hold no grudge against Russell Westbrook anymore because he's no longer a Los Angeles Laker.
The Clippers are in your same division.
I know, but the Clippers haven't done anything to us. They didn't screw us out of a championship in 2002.
Yeah.
So, got no point in disliking Russell Westbrook anymore. And I do think with what he brings offensively, alongside Bones Highland, right next to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, you have Zubac there, Terrence Mann. The Clippers could definitely be a dangerous team in the West, and I do think they could win a championship this year. But Russell Westbrook could definitely help out with that.
Did they get a – I feel like they traded for a center, the Clippers. Didn't they trade for a center?
I don't know. If they didn't, they should bring in DeMarcus Cousins.
I think that would be good. He already has that. They should get Serge Ibaka back.
With Kawhi Leonard, and the Kawhi boys.
That's what I'm saying. If they get the Westbrook and they get Serge Ibaka, imagine that team.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, you're wearing the Westbrook shirt.
And then they shipped off John Wall as well. They shipped off John Wall back to the Rockets. Let's touch on that one as we're talking about the Clippers here. John Wall gets traded from the Clippers back to the Rockets, where he's talked so much trash about the Rockets. He hated his time there. Not a very good match. So what's this mean?
I hate to say it, but in my mind,
I think John Wall's career is over.
I think his career is over.
Probably.
I absolutely do. Because where is he going? He might go and back up Drew Holiday. But to me, what's the point of that? Because he can't shoot. So what does he bring to the table for Giannis? Because if Giannis is not around shooters, he's not going to do good. He's kind of just like LeBron in that aspect.
Plus, John Wall and Giannis, they're both rim runners. So I don't want them to play the exact same way. You want a guy who can play make for him, shoot for him. And John Wall doesn't really bring either of those. Plus, he's not
a good playmaker anymore.
Not anymore.
That's why he... that's why he's not on the Clippers, because they don't have a true point guard, and that's why he got traded. Mm-hmm. So
we have a few more trades for you guys tonight, this afternoon. Jumping into the next one, Josh Richardson. I like this trade. He gets traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for Devontae Graham and 4 second round picks. I think this is a fantastic trade for the Pelicans. This helps their depth out a lot. Josh Richardson should have never been on the Spurs in the first place, but last year the Celtics traded him there in just a trade. I love this. This is a great trade. He's good depth, good shooter, good defense. How about you, Jamie?
Yeah, this is absolutely awesome for the New Orleans Pelicans. They get rid of Devontae Graham, who has been extremely underwhelming for them.
Yeah, it's been sad. He was great on the Hornets.
He was amazing in Charlotte. I thought he was going to be with LaMelo Ball for a long time. They could build around those two. Gets shipped off to the Pelicans, and he's been absolutely disappointing ever since. He had that one crazy shot where he hit from full court, but that was really his only highlight throughout his
full
career.
Full court press?
Full court press podcast. Shout out. Follow us on Instagram. But Devontae Graham, finally, they get rid of that contract. They get rid of him, along with 4 second-round picks, which, again, that's a reoccurring theme. And they get Josh Richardson, who was rotting away on the Spurs. Too much talent there. And now he goes to the Pelicans, who could use him. He's definitely going to get some minutes. He's definitely going to provide a lot more shooting and a lot more experience for a somewhat young team out in New Orleans.
I agree. We have a couple more to touch on. Reggie Jackson gets traded from the Clippers to the Hornets and then follows up by getting bought out. So now he's a free agent. We'll see where he goes. I think that'd be a good addition to some contending teams out there. In return, the Clippers get Mason Plumlee from the Hornets. Shout out Tommy again, our friend. We're so glad Mason Plumlee's out of there because we're tired of seeing our friend Tommy complain about how bad Mason Plumlee is. What do you got to say, Nick?
That's what I'd ask. Did the Clippers get a center? And I think that elevates them even higher than I had him just a minute ago. I think that they're one of the better teams. I know he's bad, but
he's not that bad. I think
he's just a terrible shooter.
He can't shoot. He shoots some free throws. He shoots with his left. Some free throws he shoots with his right. Some he shoots underhanded. So, yeah, he's a bad shooter, but he brings a lot to get rebounds for a team that needs someone like that.
Yeah.
They still got Zubac.
That's what I'm saying. That's your starting center. He's amazing. He's one of the best centers in the NBA. But, you know, I think that this is a great trade for them. I think Charlotte, that's great to get that terrible contract that for whatever reason Michael Jordan signed off at the end of the free agency this summer. But I don't know. I just think it's kind of weird. But who knows? Reggie Jackson, I think he can benefit a lot of teams. Maybe he could go to the Wizards. I think that would be a good destination for him.
I can see that. I definitely think this helps the Clippers especially. You have Zubac. Plumlee and Zubac play fairly similarly, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. They're both that stereotypical center. They get boards. They play well under the rim. That's all they got to do. So Plumlee, as long as he's not shooting out there, I think Plum Dog Millionaire is going to fit in just fine out there in Los Angeles.
And then the last trade that we're going to touch on in today's show. Thank you, everyone, for sticking with us today, this afternoon. Gary Payton gets traded back to the Warriors for five second-round picks. These are the picks that they received in the previous trade we touched on today. Now they get sent to the Trailblazers for Gary Payton, who was on the Warriors championship roster last year. In a surprising offseason move, he decides to sign a multi-year deal with the Trailblazers for some more money that the Warriors could offer him at the time. But I'm so happy for the Warriors. Even as a Celtics fan, this is a great move for them. They've been looking for some perimeter defense back as they lost Otto Porter and Gary Payton this past offseason in free agency. Well, they get one of them back with Gary Payton. This is a great move, an underrated move, but it's a really huge move for a Warriors team that just needed some more defense.
I like it for him. I mean, of course, you bring him back, so I think that's good. You know, you already have building that chemistry. I really do like that for him. That's something that they were missing was that point guard depth because Dante DiVincenzo, I think he's a bomb. So I think that's a really good deal for them. And, yeah.
What's your favorite trade today? Or in overall, from any of the trades made this season, what's your favorite one?
You know what I'm going to say. I could not be more relieved that Russell Westbrook is off of that horrible I'm with Jamie now. I hate the Los Angeles Lakers forever now. Before Westbrook went there, I liked the Lakers. Now I will never cheer for them again. I'll never like the Lakers again. So
I'm a Celtics fan too, so you know I don't really like them either. So we got a three boy hatred here.
Thank you for finally all being on my side.
Speaking on the Lakers, just one real quick. Shaedon Sharp said that he thinks that Scottie Pippen Jr. should request a trade because Malik Beasley.
I saw that. Oh my goodness.
His stepfather is on the team now.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Malik Beasley's married to
Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Or he's dating her.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Wait, Malik Beasley is with Scottie Pippen's
Beasley
ex-wife.
Malik Beasley is married to, or in a relationship with Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, which in turn, if they get married, yeah, I'd get out of there too. That's
crazy.
Awkward.
Hey, that would be the real first father-son duo in the NBA.
That's
sorry,
for sure,
LeBron,
except LeBron and Bronny coming up soon. That is very interesting. That's a great way to close off today's show. I would say that is some interesting news that I didn't know. Now, Jamie, before we get off here, What's your favorite trade of today?
Ah, man. Or this one's tough, especially because Sacramento didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I would like to say Kevin Durant, but he's going to the Suns, and I don't like that. But I think I'm going to say Kyrie Irving. I think it's just something that not a lot of us saw coming. Nobody here really thought that the Nets were going to pull the trigger and trade him. But he goes over with Luka Doncic and the Mavericks to create the most dynamic and dangerous guard combo maybe in NBA history. So they most definitely have a chance to win the NBA championship, and I think watching Kyrie and Luka is gonna be a lot of fun.
I would probably say Brooklyn, just on the standpoint of looking long term. I think they have a bright future ahead of them. Earlier in today, and even earlier in this show, I wasn't really too fond of it, but after thinking about it for a while, they got a lot of young people to look forward to on that. So I'm excited for their future.
All right, and with all of that being said, thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 and the Full Court Press Podcast. We're going to be back Monday with our series of making tier lists for every position in the NBA, moving on to the shooting guards. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at FCP_UA and on TikTok at FCP_podcast. We would like to send a huge thank you to anyone who tuned in over the last hour and to anyone listening when this is posted on Friday. This is Jamie, Alex, and Nick signing out.
Peace. Peace, guys.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.